Well, hello again. Welcome to TV Tuesday. This is TV Tuesday, where we present an episode of the Jack Benny Show that was presented on television. And you get a chance to hear it here, or you can watch it over on YouTube, and we'll have a link in the show notes that will take you to the YouTube channel where you can watch it and see us chat about it and see the actual episode. Or you can listen to it if you're in your car or whatever, and go ahead and listen. So anyway, without further ado, here is an episode of TV Tuesday.
Hit it, Phil.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Can it be the breeze that fills the trees with rare and magic perfume? Oh, no. It isn't the breeze. It's Jackson time. La-da-da-da.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. I've got my Christmas background going on because we're presenting a Christmas episode. This might be one of the last few. I'll keep on looking, but we've done at least two or three other Christmas episodes. And so I just was scrounging around going, okay, is there another Christmas episode out there? And it's like, oh, cool, I found one. And so we're presenting that today. It's going to have Bergen McCarthy on it. I have Kathy Fuller Seely with me. And you know, it's that Christmas time of year and you're going, what am I going to buy Uncle Charlie? Or what am I going to get my dad? Or what am I getting, you know, right? We have so many brilliant gift ideas for you and your loved ones. Let's bring out one of the first choices that I think is an excellent choice. We have Kathy Fuller Seely's book, and the Golden Age of American Radio Comedy with Jack Benny. And this is just a wonderful book. I would highly suggest it. I've got to get up here so you can see it better. But there you go. And so look that up. It's on Amazon. We'll feature the link to it on Amazon on our show notes. So order that for all your family members. If you're going to order one book of Kathy's and you haven't read any of them, I would probably suggest this one because I think it's the most where a book that would please any Jack Benny fan. I can't imagine them not enjoy it. It's broken down in different parts. It's got chapters. And if you want to read about Rochester, you can focus on the Rochester chapters. You want to read about the ratings of the show or how the show inner workings of the show, you can read about that. It's beautifully, Kathy does such a great job on it. And then she follows that up with I'll try and get this on the screen. I don't know. Can I get the bottom of it? I know. I can't pull it off. Hey, do you have it lying around, Kathy? You hold it up. But anyway, this is Kathy's book, and it is and Kathy's running to get it. So that her screen works better than my screen. There we go. Jack Benny's Lost Radio. And then she puts it away so fast. Anyway, it's a great book. You should order it. That's the paperback version that she's holding up. Wonderful in paperback. I have it in both paperback and hardback because I'm just that kind of fan. And I love the hardback. The paperback is very nice. Its papers are stock of paper, right? And so I'm feeling through its papers. But the hardback over here is wonderful as well. I love the binding of it. I love that when you open it, it opens kind of flat and everything. It's really nice. And that inside the paper is like a more deluxe paper. They're slick and they feel really cool on your fingers and everything. So for me, it's worth the extra. And it's only $10 more. I believe, too, the paperback, I think, is still $29 on Amazon, and this is $39. It's Jack Benny's number. Come on now. So there's that. Okay, that's all. I think I might have one more line around here. Let me just see. I'm going to change my background here. It's going to take a second, guys. I'm probably going to edit this part out, just so you know. But anyway, as I choose my virtual background, hang on. Everybody's just waiting patiently. You know this unveiling is going to be just phenomenal. So you know you're waiting for something great. I was out in my driveway, and I just drove in with my car, and I noticed something laying on the ground in the rain. And I was like, that looks like a package from Amazon. And I looked at it, and I said, well, that looks like the size of the book that I ordered, which is Kathy's new book. And I was like, but it's not supposed to arrive until the 7th. It can't be here yet. But then I pulled it open and opened it, and it wasn't damaged yet by the rain. And I now have Kathy's newest book, which is Jack Benny's Lost Radio Broadcast, Volume 2.
I don't even have one of those yet. Wow.
And so I was so excited. I got this. This is the hardback version. It's lovely again. Same great papers. The and I was going to show you at the beginning of every chapter, this to every script here this time is a little blurb that talks about what's going to be about. And it's really cool because it gives you a little preview of what you're going to be reading. And then you can decide, well, I don't really want to read that one. It doesn't even have Mary in it. Skip to the next one. Then, oh, this one does have Mary. I'll read that one. So you can choose which ones you're going to read or not read and all that kind of stuff. The other thing, simply the best part of this book, I mean, there's lots of good things in here and things, but there's one line that I just need to quote, which is just phenomenal. It says, let's see here. It mentions Daryl Lance, and that's me. So, and then it says Buck Benny OTR. So in parentheses, just to tell you who I really am. So you guys know, now why is John Henderson in the same font? You would think it would be like, you know, mine would be like, mine would be like a 24 point font. And John would be like a 6-point font is what you would think. But I'm sure in future printings, that's going to be fixed. So, and then it says Terry Phillips and Vincent Longo, who are wonderful. And then it says, are the Saturday morning podcast gang who are always teaching me new things about Jack Benny, comedy, and 20th century history. Oh my goodness, what a wonderful mention of us in this book. You just for that one sentence, you want to order the book and order copies for all your family members. It's the price went up a little bit on volume two.
That's
it's okay.
True. I thought I saw it gone up.
But we know about inflation, so it's there. And so it's $43 for the hardback, and I think it's $33. So it's still $10 more for the hardback. But we highly suggest the hardback over the paperback.
If you're thrifty, sign up for Bear Manor Media emails, and they'll give you a 25% discount or something.
Wow.
But you won't get them as quickly. So
you won't get the book quite as quickly. It might not arrive for Christmas. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. So, but order that today if you want it for Christmas, because you'll have plenty of time for it to come for Christmas. Especially if you're a Prime member, it should come right away. So, what an exciting book to read. Oh, and Kathy was saying this volume has a couple of the parodies of films, which we didn't get in the last volume. So that's cool to see the morphing of Jack and things. And I've read through them. I think the scripts, I think the writing is getting better than the first volume. But the other thing, all kidding aside, everything, put it all away. For me, this is insane. This is something I could never expect. I mean, Laura and all the folks that digitized and created, preserved Jack Benny's show was the greatest single act, I think, for old time radio ever for us to be able to have those. But this act of preserving Jack Benny's scripts and getting them out there where we could never see them is just really absolutely beyond astounding. If one of these scripts came up somehow for auction, I would have paid up to $100 for one script. Okay. Yeah, if all of these came up, I would have bought them each for $20, $30, $40 each, you know, without a problem. I don't think I could have paid $100 each for all these scripts, but that's a lot of money, right? So the amount you're getting is just insane because you're getting 50 scripts that you cannot get any other way between the two volumes. One of them, the first one, it was presented. We have the audio from that, which is awesome. I'm so glad we have the audio for Jack's first show. But she wanted to present that because it was Jack's first show. So it makes total sense that it's in the first volume. But everything in the second volume and all the rest of the first volume. So the first volume has 26. The second volume has 25, right? I think. Am I right?
Yeah, because I left one behind.
Yeah, you left one out. And she's so embarrassed by leaving one out. I'm like, give me a break. This is 50. Between the two volumes, that's 50 new episodes of the Jack Benny Show that you can read that you cannot get any other way. Oh, my gosh. It's so wonderful. And I just hope, and Kathy's promised she's going to present them all to us somehow or another. But I think they're going to be presented in the same format. I love the fact that I was thinking, oh, okay, they're all going to come out in blue and it'll be fine. I like it. It's kind of a nice color and the whole thing. But I was so excited to see the second volume comes out in this green color. And her plan is to have it sort of be the rainbow along with like the Jell-O colors and everything. And I'm just, it'll be fun to have this rainbow colored Jack Benny collection. And I think that's great. So anyway, probably enough talking about it, but.
Daryl, you're so kind. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
You are exactly the person I wanted to try and make these available to. You know, one can go into the bowels. It's so hard to get parking at UCLA, go to the bowels of their library, and you have to order the script, the boxes up a week in advance. And they otherwise, they will not let you take photographs. All you can do is read them or take notes. I had to get special permission from the estate to be able to get my cell phone going and take those photos. So it truly was a family effort. Laura was indispensable in having this come to pass. And indeed, half the royalties go to the estate. So for all the, we each made like $30 this year. Woo!
But man, the service you're doing for us fans is so.
Well, it's something I'd always wanted to see, you know, that's a fan. I always wanted to know what those early shows were like, because we've speculated, fans, for years. Yeah. Oh, they must not be very good. Oh, the this and that. And to see that they're their own thing. It's definitely not the Jack of 1950. You know, it's not that show, but it has its own charms. So
yes. Oh, for sure. And I truly believe for most fans out there, if you've listened to lots of Jack Benny, you can't help but when you read the scripts to hear Jack's voice in your head as you're reading it. It makes it so much more entertaining because, you know, and then sometimes I hit a line and I'll think, in my brain, I'll read it one way because that's how Jack might present. And I'll go, and I'll read another couple lines. I'll go, oh, he would have said that other line differently, I think. And then I go back and I read that line again and I hear it the other way Jack would have said it. And it's just, yeah, it's so entertaning. But anyway, thank you.
That's great. It's kind of the get back of Jenny.
It is. It is the get back of, yes, you're bringing something from the past forward. Anyway, you were just talking about family and things. We have an addition to our podcast right now, another family member that is chiming in. So I'm going to bring him on in for us. And John Henderson is going to appear with us. So this is exciting. Well, it's somewhat exciting. With John, I only get so excited.
But well, there you go. But there you go.
Oh, and she's doing John's podcast. I need to give her a shirt for my podcast, but I don't make shirts for my podcast. But that's okay. John, are you there? John, you're sideways. Now you're straight. Now you're straight. Well, John, I didn't know you'd be joining us.
Neither did I, but I.
Well, but hooray! It.
But you felt like you had to, so you are. Well, John, did you get a chance to watch the Jack Benny episode by any chance? Or have you seen it before?
I did not get a chance.
You did not. Well, this is going to be exciting for you to talk about it. You're not going to be able to give anything away that we're trying not to give away. So we're going to highly suggest you watch the episode, John, at some point in the future, because it is an interesting episode all the way around.
This has Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. Is that right?
Yes. More McCarthy than Bergen. In it, and it has Mortimer Schnerd too. So,
well, I always liked Charlie McCarthy better than Edgar Bergen anyway. I don't know why.
There you go.
That's why it's great having you. We're gonna talk, do a lot of talking about Bergen, McCarthy, dummy versus the man, you know, the whole thing, and you and I are specialists of talking about the dummy, which would be kind of you, and then the man, which is more me, and then so it's going to be fun. So, kidding with that. Anyway, got to keep the feud going. Now, come on. let's go ahead and start talking about the episode then. And then, John, are you planning on staying around for our Get Back special that we're having? We're chat about Get Back a little bit.
But I made it work just so I could talk about that.
Oh, sweet. Okay. Well, this one, honestly, we probably won't stick with this one too long because I'd like to switch over to Get Back and spend more time on Get Back. But anyway.
Like 8 hours.
Yeah. So let me first preface this one with a couple things I want to say. First off, is almost always I come on here and say to my listeners, because I make this in audio form for the podcast, but I also, of course, have video form on YouTube. And I say to them, oh, you know, hey, if you're driving a truck or whatever it is and you want to listen to the show, it's still entertaining to listen to these Jack Benny shows without the picture. But I always encourage them to watch the YouTube one because I think, one, they get to see us in person and everything. Two, they get a chance to watch the actual show that's designed to be a visual medium. In this particular episode, I would say you might actually enjoy it more just listening to the audio in that it was, I wasn't thinking about that, but I was preparing this morning for the show again. And I was getting ready and things. And so at one point of the show, I shoved my phone in my back pocket so I couldn't see anymore the visual. I was just hearing it. And I was hearing the part, and it was the part where Mortimer Snerd and Charlie McCarthy, all that part I heard, I didn't see. And I was going, I actually enjoyed that more hearing it than seeing it. Yeah.
That's a very good point. And yet the first half wouldn't work as well.
Correct.
Before we get, you know, I mean, so the opening segment, it's really better if you see it. And then yes. The second segment, perhaps, and I'll agree with you, it's kind of more fun to listen to the second half, but you really have to watch the first half.
Yes. So. Well, and that, and Jack does a few of his really long pauses at different points. Long pauses to the point of where you're listening, I think you're going to be going, so what's going on there? And, you know, because and it's the way it is, folks. So if you're listening, some of the episodes going to be better for you. If you're watching, some of the episodes going to be better that way. So
there you go.
Do it both ways. Actually, watch it on YouTube and listen to it.
And watch it. But it really says something about that period of transition of between radio and television for Jack and for audiences. What are, because the picture in 1955 for most people
yes.
was still on pretty little sets, certainly well, not great and, ones. And so they said, and this would be his final year of being on the radio at all. And then we'll talk about Bergen and you know, that yeah. I don't believe he actually lasted very long on television.
No, if he even no, that's what I want to talk about.
I think he did. Yeah. So it's a fascinating sort of microcosm of this in between period.
Yes.
When you don't know whether to look or listen.
Yes. So. Yes. And so let's talk about a couple things. One, this is the anniversary year of this program. So it's 65 years ago that this was released to the public and they saw it for the first time. It is a Christmassy episode. It actually has a Christmas song in it. Boy, there's just so much to cover in this, but we'll get there. The Bergen McCarthy thing that she was just talking about, I had I not known anything. Had I just listened to Bergen on the radio and thought, oh, we're coming to television, television's taking over, I would go, well, it's crazy that a ventriloquist worked on the radio. You kind of got to see a ventriloquist. So I would have thought he would actually work better in television. But that is not the case with him. One, he's not the greatest ventriloquist in the world. His mouth and his lips always seem to be kind of moving, but it's partially because his characters are so boisterous and so out there that it would be hard to do a ventriloquism act with what he's doing. What he essentially did on radio is he played three or four characters and didn't, ventriloquism was no part of it, really. I mean, at least for most of the radio audience, I don't even know. In studio, do either of you guys know? Did he actually sit there with Mortimer and do, he did. So he did for his audience in studio, they actually saw the puppet and the whole thing. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But so it would have been an interesting experience to be in the audience for his show, which would be so different from being at home, but. Gosh, it sure worked. And so anyway, so he goes and he starts doing it on television or tries to, and it always looks either creepy or just weird or like he's a bad ventriloquist. I mean, it just never really pulls it off.
You know, I think maybe part of it is the fact that he was on radio and not required. And so he wasn't honing those skills. In fact, I think he let them go a bit. And because I think I heard on a special feature, maybe it was to Fun and Fancy Free or something, where he watched it and he wasn't too happy with, you know, seeing himself and realizing, boy, that's not quite as good as it has been in the past, you know.
Oh, well, let's give an ad for that. Fun and Fancy Free that John just talked about is a Disney film that was done during/after World War II, right in that time frame. And when they were, and at that time, they weren't doing the full feature length presentations. They were doing movies that were a bunch of independent little cartoons kind of put together as a movie. And they wanted to kind of make it linked more than just a series of cartoons. So they had Edgar Bergen come in with Charlie McCarthy and Mortimer Schnerd and introduce each of the cartoons in a movie called, what is it, Fun and Fancy Free? Isn't that what it's called?
Yeah.
And so it's probably, I would assume, I haven't checked lately, but I'm assuming it's over on Disney Plus and that you can watch that. And so if you have Disney Plus, as we're going to be talking about Get Back, which is also on Disney Plus, I would go ahead and watch that, especially if you're watching this, if you actually watch this YouTube that we're going to present on this show, it would be a great follow-up to watch that and see in a slightly different venue how they do that with the
characters. Well, and obviously the most famous part of Fun and Fancy Free is Mickey and the Beanstalk, which is narrated by Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. And actually, if you want another great recommendation, especially for Christmas time, mm-hmm. on the special features to Alice in Wonderland, they have a TV special, which is like, you know, Disney in Wonderland or something like that. And it has the girl who played Alice, and it's Christmas themed, and maybe it's called Christmas in Wonderland. And it has Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. And I think that's actually a better representation and more entertaining of like how Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy can work in a visual format.
Now you got me wanting that. Hey, because I don't think that's on YouTube. I don't know. I'll search for it and see if it's out there on YouTube. But that's awesome. I would love to see that. So
that's fabulous.
Look at that. We're giving you all kinds of things that you can do, viewers, things you can look up, things you can find, things you can get for Christmas time. This is a great Christmas episode. Anyway, do you guys have more to talk about Mortimer and Schnerd and Charlie McCarthy, or can we switch to a different topic in this episode? We're good? So I want to talk about the Sportsman, because I've talked before about how the Sportsman, of all the sad things about, you know, you can look at with Jack Benny's TV shows and what they're missing or what they're not missing, the releasing of them to syndication is so sad because you get the Sportsmen just get gutted. They're trying to find a way to fit it in with the time frame of modern shows. They have to have more commercial time. Plus, on top of it, there are usually advertisements, of course, that they're singing for a tobacco company, which is really bad. So they end up cutting that part because it's just too troublesome to deal with. And so it's an easy cut to make that doesn't affect the show too much, right? So we just don't get the Sportsmen as much as we should. And the Sportsmen were great. This episode really gives a nice highlight to the Sportsmen. They get their own Christmas song. You get a new Christmas song. They said that they actually released it as a single or whatever by a different band. By two sisters or something released it. And the Benny Riders and things did write the song. And so I'm going to search on Spotify and see if it's out there. If it is, and I'll get into my Spotify thing now. I'll tell you, I'm going to be having over this episode and our Get Back episode a bunch of different playlists I'm going to put out there in the show notes that you guys can click on. They'll take you to Spotify and you'll listen to the playlist. So we do my family does a Christmas album every year, and I pick like four or five songs. My wife picks four or five songs. My daughter picks four or five songs. My son picks four or five songs. We used to put them out on a CD and send them to friends and relatives and things, but then we realized people don't have CD players much anymore. And things. So what we just started doing the last 3 years is having a Spotify playlist we create. And then we just send the link out and around. Well, I'm going to put the Spotify playlist connected up in the show notes here so you can listen to it. Now, just to know, we're still working on it. I think I've dumped 20 different Christmas songs that are my selections that I got to weed down and things. But if I can find this Christmas song from this episode that they're mentioning, if it exists on Spotify, I'll include that too. Because one thing I like to do with my Christmas songs that I do is I like to include kind of rare offbeat Christmas songs. I don't do too much of the jingle bells and things like that. I do Christmas in New Orleans or, you know, various songs that are kind of a little more offbeat or rare, especially if I can find like a Bing Crosby doing a strange Christmas song that you're not used to hearing. I love that when I can mix a famous person with an offbeat song. So anyway, Little Jack Frost, Get Lost, Get Lost is a fun one that I think I have on this year's album. And so tune in for that. Speaking of Spotify, I think I should say this because I'm really excited about this news. Historically, when people listen to the free account on Spotify, they had to listen on shuffle. So I take forever with my playlist, getting the song list right, picking out this song kind of works with that one and leads into this one. I mean, my whole, as we get into Get Back, I have a Get Back version that I put out there that I think is the best version of Get Back ever released. I think Glyn Johns did a great job. I love Glyn Johns' mixes of the songs, but his sequencing left a lot to be desired. I mean, certainly the Beatles listened to his sequencing and his album that he created for them. And they said, oh, let's get Phil Spector in here and redo this thing. So obviously they weren't happy with it. But what he did, which is bizarre, is he took like the three best songs, Paul's, you know, Let It Be, Get Back, Long and Windy Road. I think he put all those three were the last three tracks on the album and everything else leads up to that. And you're like, well, you know, that's not the greatest album if you don't have the greatest songs like mixed in. So in my version, I start with Get Back. I have the Get Back reprise towards the very end. I ended the whole thing with Long and Winding Road, which is kind of saying that's how their journey's been. This is like their last released album. And then Let It Be, I had somewhere in between there. So, I mean, it just works and the flow works really, really nice. So anyway, so when we get to Get Back, I'll have that available. Anyway, what I was saying was, Spotify with a free account used to make it where it'd be all random and it would frustrate me because my playlist would be all messed up for people. Well, Adele comes on the scene a couple weeks ago and she releases her album and she says, Spotify, I don't like your random feature. I want you to play the album the way I sequenced it and I don't want it to be random. And so Spotify doesn't just fix her album. They change the way that the free system works. So now when you play an album, you get the album, whether it's in the original order. So for all of you that don't have free accounts to Spotify, I would show Spotify, hey, we like this idea and sign up and you'll be able to hear everything the way it's supposed to be. Now your sound quality is not quite as high as it is if you have the premium membership. And I'll just push that real quick. Premium membership for a family is only like $14.99. And you get six accounts. So that's what, $3 an account or something a month? It's pretty cheap. So we have it for my whole family and we love it. But anyway, I figure I might as well pump up Spotify since I use it so much. And I have on my account, just so you guys know, probably 70 playlists that I've created over time. So, and they're all the best playlists you'll ever find anywhere. So there you go. So come and listen to that. So anyway, so let's continue with our discussion here. And I just mentioned The Sportsman. They do a great song on here. It's fun. The whole first bit is funny and is good. It's got Jack complaining about money. It's got Don and Jack fighting. It's just better than I thought it would be. So I love that. And oh, and we get a song from Edgar Bergen's wife in this. So, and she does a delightful job of singing a song. I really like that. So Kathy, what were your thoughts on any of this?
well, doing a little Wikipedia searching on Francis Bergen, it's kind of like Edgar wanted to keep her light under a bushel, if you will. She had talent and a great desire to be a singer and performer, but he kept telling her, you're the mother to my children, stay home and take care of my children. I don't want you traveling. I don't want you doing other things.
Isn't that kind of Red Skelton's story too with his wife? I thought he was the same way. So interesting.
It could well be, but that's so. But I was impressed how much Candace Bergen favors her mother. They look alike, and you know, they look similar and sound similar, and she does quite a good job. As much as it's really interesting how Jack is so generous to the wives of all the Hollywood celebrities. He'll have the actors' wives on. He'll have, you know, that's.
Which I love because it makes him look cheap as well, because he can't, it looks like on his show, well, it'd be expensive to get Bing Crosby, but Bing Crosby's wife is cheap or so, you know, and so forth. And so you get everybody's wives on the show.
That's great.
I didn't know the character. What else about this episode did you kind of, Kathy, what did you think about the rest of it?
Well, I'd never seen it before, so thank you very much for the opportunity. And as I said, I was really as you may cut this out because I yammered about it before, about the fascinating ways in which the first half of the program is very much a stand in front of the curtain, a sort of a vaudeville or radio type show. The vaudeville aspect of Jack with the long takes. While the sportsman and their guest star, who I thought maybe was Thurl Ravenscroft, who else has that low voice? But I didn't know.
It was a great voice.
It was a low voice. How the humor was so visual in that aspect, because it's Jack sort of looking and staring and staring and looking, and he doesn't have to say a thing to get laughs. And then the second half of the show, which is meant to be visual surprises and visual humor, just as Daryl, as you say, almost works better this many years later to just enjoy the audio aspect and just sort of not pay attention to some of the video.
Yeah, because and it's so interesting because Kathy and I did not talk about this ahead of time, but we both came to the same exact conclusion. That and we're not going to give away what happens in this episode. There's a big spoiler thing with Edgar and the dummies and everything, but it just didn't work the way they wanted it to work. It was creepier. It almost feels like a Twilight Zone episode. This episode, and so I think because John, I know John is into the Twilight Zone, and John's, I really think this is an episode that John will enjoy watching at some point in the future. Because It's a bizarre thing, and like I say, it pulls you out of the episode, some of it, because
right. and
you're not getting the humor anymore. Yet, you're like, oh, this is just weird.
and yet that was the Bergen's life. When you read Candace's, what she says about her childhood, she said it was difficult to have all these brothers, that they were all sort of considered to be part of the family. And how do you know? I mean, both the characters are so famous.
Yes.
But everybody considered Charlie to be a sort of a living being. That I understand when they would be doing radio shows, that oftentimes the guest star would be talking to Charlie as Bergen, and he's sitting on Bergen's lap. So it is kind of fascinating, even though it was on radio, how the idea of this character sort of. It's almost like Pinocchio and Real Boy, you know, just sort of back and forth and back and forth of sort of understanding the character both ways simultaneously.
Yes. Well,
Candace got pissed off that. So.
Well, that brings up to me the single funniest part of the entire episode where I just, every time I see it, I just laugh. I'm just like, oh my gosh, it's so perfect. It's so, the writing is so perfect on that. And I don't know if I want to give it away. I'll just tell Kat. I mean, I'll let Kathy's going to know what I'm talking about. It's the conversation between Bergen and Jack and how they have the conversation. I mean, it is so, no, not over there, Jack. You know, and anyway, unfortunately, if you're listening, you're not even, I don't even think they, maybe you'll pick up on it. Maybe you'll pick up on it. But yeah, it's a visual gag that is exactly how you would think people would talk to Bergen, and Bergen would want to talk to people. But just think of a guy who has dummies all the time and working with them, what it would be like. But anyway, we won't give any more of that away.
But then to to sort of, I mean, sum it up, let's, am I right in thinking that Bergen never actually did go on television, even though this yes. show says, hey, your new show is going to start January 30th or whatever, somewhere about 6 weeks in the distance, right. that either that didn't happen or it lasted only a very short time?
Oh, he went on a few different times, I think. He tried a few different television like, shows. Yes,
yeah.
But what yeah. would happen is, invariably, they would fail. And he would go back. He kept going back to radio. In fact, he had one of the latest radio shows of the comedians, a big time radio show. I think he had an hour long radio show still in like 57. So that's pretty late in the game. And that's 2 years after this episode is aired. So, yeah. and it might even gone longer than that. I think it started. Well, and maybe, are you sure they were talking about a television show or were they talking about just, yeah. They said television show.
That's what I,
because I want to say his radio show, his last one, the one that I think it went from 55 to 57. So I think it started in this year, the hour long show, radio
because
show.
Because there were still, you know, that's
yeah.
what
oh,
we
yeah, for sure.
forget is that people still did listen to the radio. It's well, just, and it was you know, easy. It's kind of like the people listening to broadcast TV. They're still out there.
Oh, for
the
sure.
shrinking, but yeah. they're still out there. And the network, CBS, had that audience that they needed to, you know.
Well, and for these guys, it was easy to get a number one show. I mean, really, I mean, if you're a Bergen or a Bob Hope or whoever you are, and you release something in 54, 55, 56, and it's a radio show, you're going to be number one, at least in the top two or three. I mean, it's guaranteed. And some people use that. I mean, certainly Fibbergy and Molly went, they were doing a 15-minute show, I think, within this time frame. And it was a very popular 15-minute show that they did for up until, I don't know, maybe 60, sometime in that. And then his show, I think, was number one on radio, Bergen's in 55 through 50, whenever he ran it. But the problem is, your listening audience is, you know, it used to be 40 million, 70 million people, and now it's 2 million people. And of course, television is reaching out to hundreds of millions by this time. So yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, John, what are your thoughts on I know you didn't see this, but yeah, I mean, no, on Bergen generally, radio, I mean, we're going all over the place. So go ahead.
What Kathy was mentioning about, you know, Candace Bergen saying, oh, I've got these brothers and talking about the dummies. It made me think, you know, I sort of, sometimes it's a bit odd. Charlie McCarthy doesn't have a defined age. Sometimes they treat him like he's a little boy, right? Oh, you're ready for Christmas. You hope Santa Claus comes down the chimney. And then other times he's like, you know, he's making jokes about, you know, movie stars and things like that and wolf whistling.
Well, especially women. He's making jokes that are Randy exactly. sort of jokes that you're going, yeah. okay, it's not funny if he's eight. It's funny if he's 21 or yeah. something supposed to be. So yeah.
And like he's a rascal, and that's why we like Charlie McCarthy. But it also doesn't quite fit his look because he's got a monocle and a top hat. So I just always thought that was a little bit odd. You can't quite place Charlie McCarthy, and yet he was always the most popular.
Well, and it might have been just the best way to do it because it's like, oh, when we need him to be a little kid, we can have him be a little kid. Christmas time is great for him to be a little kid. Yeah. And when he's talking to Marilyn Monroe or something, hey, we can hey, have man. Him do risque stuff and he's not really a little kid. And the conceit is, you know, the whole time he's really Edgar Bergen, so you can kind of let it slide as to everything. So,
yeah. yeah.
But Edgar, the way he had those characters down and could do them... John's really good at this. If you ever listen to our show, to our recreations, whenever I do Phil, I always jump into Rochester at the beginning because I can't switch over to Phil after I've been doing Rochester, and so it takes me a minute, and so we end up cutting that part out, and you guys might hear a little of Rochester in my Phil. John does like a gazillion characters, and he can pop back and forth between them pretty darn well. To me, that's a skill, but the person that's the best at that skill ever is Edgar Bergen, because he could have Charlie talking to Mortimer, talking to Edgar, and keep track of who's who and what they're doing. I would totally, I know, be doing Edgar's voice for Charlie and Charlie's for Mortimer, and it'd be all messed up.
Well, it is particularly impressive because he's doing a weekly show where he's got new material. He's reading on the fly every single week. I have seen ventriloquists that are even better than Edgar Bergen at like switching between the voices and you know, not moving their mouths and making it seamless. And it's, I love watching ventriloquists. It's so impressive. But the fact that, you know, Edgar Bergen is doing a new show every week for decades is really impressive.
Yes, I agree.
He's not like getting material down so he knows when to switch voices, but he's just like doing it on the fly.
Yes. And his writers, I mean, I don't know how much he was involved with the writing or wasn't. I assume he wrote a lot of it, but they were so good. I mean, that show holds up. If you're going, ventriloquist, there's no way I'm going to watch a ventriloquist show. I mean, John's into it, but a lot of people are just like, ventriloquist, passe or whatever. But his radio shows are worth a listen, and they're far, like I was saying, a lot of them are risque that you wouldn't expect from a ventriloquist act, and very adult type humor in them and enjoyable. And I recommend them highly. There was a reason why in the absolute pinnacle, like 40, 38, that time frame of radio, when Jack was at his peak, when everybody was at their peak, he was number one. Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy were number one for a lot of that time, for probably 3, 4, 5 years of that time frame, probably more than anybody else. I mean, Jack was number one a decent amount of it too. And Bob Hope was sometimes. It kind of moved around. Fibber McGee and Molly sometimes were the top, but of all of them, I think in the most critical phase where they're all competing against each other, Edgar Bergen was number one.
One thing I appreciate about the Bergen skits was he'd keep them fairly short. It's not like this was a sitcom where you had to be hearing Charlie every single minute of the show. Mm-hmm. Yes. But my understanding, because I haven't heard a lot of them, but I thought it had a variety show aspect. Yes. You know, when he's on against War of the Worlds, Nelson Eddy has to sing and other people have to sing. And then they have the guest star and do various skits. So that's, I think he doesn't let Charlie or Mortimer, who I don't much care for, wear out their welcome by keeping kind of the appearances kind of.
You don't like Mortimer. Mortimer's great. That sounded more like Nixon meets Mortimer, but that's okay. I'm not a crook. I am a doll. Anyway, let's move on. I think we've covered well enough. I think we want to get back. Is that good? All right, everybody, enjoy your Christmas season. Get all Kathy's books that we talked about at the beginning before John came. And to rub it in for John. Well, I can't rub it in for John. I can. Her second book arrived, and I got it. And it was like, it was on my driveway. And I was I could have run over that.
But anyway. I don't, the author doesn't have one yet. So the author is going to go to Amazon and order one to try and get it in 2 days. So.
But certainly a great, great read and fun book. Anyway, with that, we'll let you enjoy this episode, an interesting episode, no matter how you look at it. Bizarre that we're saying listen to part of it, watch part of it. I'd do it both ways. Honestly, this episode's worth all of that. And it's all that in a bag of chips. Enjoy, and we'll see you next time.
From Television City in Hollywood, the Jack Benny program with his special guest, Mrs. Edgar Bergen, presented by Lucky Strike.
Thank you very, very much, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Lucky Strike program. Well, here it is, a week before Christmas, and I haven't even started to do my shopping yet. You know, I guess it's because, I don't know, every year it's such a problem for me. I have so many people that I have to remember. You know, my cast, my staff, there's Don Wilson, and there's Dennis Day, and then there's Rochester. You see, Rochester's been working for me for over 18 years, and it's so hard to know what to get for him. He's got nothing. And then there's Don Wilson. Of course, his wife helped me a little bit on that. She told me that he wanted a shirt, And she told me his size, too. It was 16-33. See, I mean, where can you find a shirt with a 33 neck and a 16 sleeve? Then, of course, they're my orchestra boys. I always exchange gifts every year with them, and they've already given me mine. They sent me, the boys did, they sent me the most beautiful 5-carat diamond ring that you've ever seen. I got it already. The ring came, and there was no card in it or anything, but I knew it was for my musicians when the police came and took it back. Fortunately, in our next musical arrangement, the clarinet player has a 10-year rest. And of course, Remley, you know, Frank Remley, my guitar player, every year I always buy him a bottle of bourbon, but his doctor absolutely refuses to allow him to touch liquor this year, you know, so I gave him something else and he was just thrilled. I gave him the name of a new doctor. Well, to get on with the show, there's something I want to tell you, and I'm quite proud of this. You see, one of my writers, Sam Perrin, and my musical director, Mr. Malin Merry, got together just a few weeks ago, and they wrote a brand new Christmas song. It's a novelty song called That's How Santa Claus Will Look This Year. The Sportsman Quartet are going to sing it.
Oh,
and
Jack,
with the Sportsman...
Jack! Jack! I'm really sorry to interrupt, but before the sportsmen come out to do the number, I want you to meet Mr. Enrico Scartaccini.
Mr. Scartaccini, how do you do, sir?
How do you do? It's my pleasure, sir. I can't tell you how much I have looked forward to performing on your show tonight.
Well, that's it. You going to perform on the show?
Oh, yes, yes, certainly, Jack. You see, we want to do this number properly, so I took the privilege of hiring Mr. Scartaccini to work with the sportsmen.
Oh, well, good, good. I mean, you know, we want the number to go right.
Yeah, we sure do. Oh, and something else, Jack. Mr. Scartaccini has consented to come on the show for only $1,000.
What'd you say, Don?
I said he's consented to come on for only $1,000.
Don... How many times have I told you that the words only and thousand don't go together? Look at Don. Excuse me, just a minute. Don, as long as the Sportsman Quartet are going to do it, why do we need...
Look, just a minute, what? Jack. Now, I don't know whether you'll appreciate this or not, but it just so happens that Mr. Scartaccini is between tours. Mm-hmm. And the reason he consented to come on for only $1,000 is because he likes you so very, very much.
Now, couldn't you find somebody who hates me a little?
I found a lot of people who despise you, but they can't sing.
Oh, that's a bad place, isn't it? Well.
Well, now, Jack, look, don't worry about a thing. Everything's going to be all right. Just leave it up to me.
Okay.
Mr. Scartaccini's really going to make this number.
Okay.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, That's How Santa Claus Will Look This Year, sung by Mr. Enrico Scartaccini, supported by the Sportsman Quartet.
With a long white beard and a suit of red and a baby Crockett hat on his head, that's how Santa Claus will look this year. And to get us all of the things we need, he will ride the plains on his trusty steed. Way out west will be his new frontier. With a yippee-yi,
ho, ho, ho,
he'll act so jolly. He will yippee-yi,
ho, ho, ho,
so loud and clear. With a long white beard and a suit of red and a baby Crockett hat on his head, that's how old Saint Nick will get his Christmas kick. Yes, that's how Santa Claus will look this year. Here he comes, here he comes, here he comes,
with a jolly laugh and a golden pack full of good old luckies on his back.
That's what Santa Claus will bring this year.
Every Lucky Strike has a taste you like, for the perfect gift, give Lucky Strike.
Every pop is full of Christmas cheer. with a yippee-yi.
Ho, ho, ho.
He laughs so jolly with a yippee-yi.
Ho, ho, ho.
So loud and clear.
Lucky Strike is smoother, pressure too, and it's so much cleaner through and through.
What a cigarette. It's toasted, don't forget. Smoke Lucky Strike throughout this coming year. Make Lucky Strike your smoke this coming year.
Ho, 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 ho.
Don, $1,000 for a ho ho ho? That's ridiculous.
Well, I thought he was a real bargain.
Oh, you did, eh? Well, yeah. The next time you hire somebody without consulting me, you understand? I'm going to ring your size 33 neck. Now go, will you?
Go?
Yes.
Oh, I can't understand, Jack. Doggone it, I try to give a little class to the show.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that number was written by my two boys. It was recorded by the Dijon sisters, and I hope you will buy the records because my boys are going to have to pay Mr. Scordazzini. We'll see who gets the last ho, ho, ho. You know, I don't want you to get the impression that I don't like to pay for talent. Because I will, if the talent merits it. Now, for instance, in a short time now, in a few weeks from now, I'm going to do a show where I want to use a ventriloquist as a guest star. And I even went to speak to Edgar Bergen about it. It's because I love the way Mr. Bergen works with his two dummies, you know, Charlie McCarthy and Mortimer Snurd, you see. And I had lunch with Mr. Bergen a couple of times. We discussed it. And about 3 days ago, I had an appointment to meet him at his house.
Mr. Bergen's residence. Oh, it's you, Mr. Bergen.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he comes, I will tell him to wait. Yeah.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingling all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh, root hooty hoot.
Come in.
How do you do? I'm Jack Benny. I have an appointment with Mr. Bergen.
Oh, yeah, I know. Mr. Bergen just called on the telephone. He'll be home here pretty soon. Won't you come in and wait?
No, no, thank you. Thank you very much. It's a nice house. My, what a beautiful portrait of Mrs. Bergen.
Yeah, it is.
Look at this. To Edgar Bergen from Gustav. An autographed picture from the King of Sweden. Mr. Bergen must be quite proud of this. Huh?
Oh, yeah, by Yemeni, he is very proud of it. Mr. Bergen is Swedish, you know.
I know, yeah.
I am Swedish, too.
No.
Yeah.
Funny, I thought you came from French Morocco.
Mr. Benny, would you like to have me tell Mrs. Bergen that you're here?
Oh, is Mrs. Bergen home?
Yeah,
oh,
I will tell her.
Will you tell her I'm here, please? Well, here's this book that George Burns wrote. I love her, that's why. A cute title. Remember, he asked me to write the prologue to it, too. Let's see, where is it? Oh, there it is. Prologue by Jack Benny. I was really in good form when I wrote that prologue. Someday I must read the book.
Oh, there you are, Mrs. Bergen. Mr. Benny is in the living room.
Thank you. I'll go right in. Jack.
Well, fancy. That's wonderful.
Well, it's good to see you. Edgar mentioned you'd drop by, but he must be detained at the studio rehearsing his radio show.
Yes, your butler told me he called.
Oh, well, the house is a mess. I've been wrapping Christmas packages.
Yeah, I see.
I hope you don't mind waiting.
No. It's so nice and cozy and Christmassy and everything with the tree.
Oh, well, thank you. And, Jack, I want you to know that of all the Christmas cards, yours was the prettiest.
Well, you got it already? I only mailed it last night.
No, Jack. I'm talking about the ones you sold us.
Oh, yes. I did have a nice selection this year, I thought.
Yes, you did. Well, Jack, I'm awfully sorry Edgar's so late, but if you'd like a drink while you're waiting, I'll ring for Pierre and have him fix you one.
No, I don't. Wait a minute. Your butler's name is Pierre?
Yes, we picked him up in French Morocco.
The darndest thing I ever heard. Say, Francis, you know, when I was talking to Edgar about being on my show, he told me something about you that I didn't know.
Oh, what's that?
Well, he told me that you sing.
Oh, I don't really sing. Sometimes I entertain at parties, and I've appeared with Edgar a few times.
Well, look, that would be wonderful. I didn't know you sing. Maybe you could sing and come on my television show sometime after Edgar does it.
Oh, Jack.
No, look, we've got to wait here anyway. Now, come on, let me hear you do a number. I never dreamed you could sing.
Well, you sure you want to hear something?
Certainly I do. Come on.
Well, all right.
All right.
Let me see. Well, this is a new number I did at Daryl Zanuck's big party last week.
Wait a minute. I didn't hear you sing at Daryl's party.
You weren't there.
I would have been there, but I didn't know he was giving a party. Go ahead, sing, will you? Will you, Francis?
Sure you want to hear it?
Certainly, go ahead. I'd love to. Okay. I didn't even know you could sing. Go ahead.
Believe in what you're doing and do what you believe in and life. We'll have a new dimension, lots of laughs, a lot less tension. Soon you find you found a new way for sleeping sounder. Your goal is high, but you'll achieve it just as long as you believe. That's why each graduation day, the guest of honor will always say, to be successful in the field you choose, student, all you got to do is believe.
And
what you believe in and life will offer love and laughter ever after. Just believe. That's why each graduation day, the guest of honor will always say, to be successful in the field you choose, students, all you got to do is believe in what you're doing and do what you believe in, and life will offer love and laughter ever after. Just believe.
Hey. Thank you. That's just wonderful. Believe me, if I'd have known that you sang, I certainly. Oh.
Hello? Yes, this is Mrs. Bergen. Well, Mr. Bergen isn't home. May I take a message? What? Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, he'll be very pleased about that. Yes, he'll be down in the morning. Thank you. Bye. Gee, isn't that lucky?
Why? What was it?
Edgar's 5-carat diamond ring. The police got it back.
Look at Francis. Getting back to the song, I really, while you were singing, I got an idea for a show.
Mm-hmm.
Now sit down, and I want to tell you.
Oh,
now
Mrs.
we can do
Bergen.
This anytime.
Oh, Mrs.
After
Bergen.
Edgar does his show.
Where are you, Mrs. Bergen? Come out, come out, wherever you are. Oh, there you are, Mrs. Bergen. Look at you standing there. Say, can I go down to the city dump some slug rats with Skinny Dugan?
Only 1 hour, Charlie. Now, wait a minute. Come back here.
Huh?
You've got a stain on that tie. Now, go to your room and get another one.
One little stain. One stinking little stain. You've got to have a clean tie to slug rats.
You know, Jack, sometimes Charlie... Jack? What's the matter, Jack?
Francis. Francis, that was... That was Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, certainly. I don't know why that boy
but always... Francis. Francis, he's real.
What are you talking about?
What... Francis, all these years, I thought he was a dummy.
Oh, now, Jack, you've been in show business all your life. How can you be so naive?
I don't know. I don't know. I can't get over it.
How is this, Mrs. Bergen?
Oh, fine. Here, come on, let me tie. Well, oh, it still has a sting on it.
Hey, are you trying to pick my pocket?
No, 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 no. No, I'm sorry.
That I don't understand at all.
Oh, I never was any good with men's ties. Maybe Mr. Benny will tie it for you.
Yeah, would you please?
Yeah, it's a little crooked here.
Mm. 39, he says.
There you are. There you are, Charlie.
No, thank you, 39. The last time he saw 50 was on a speedometer.
Get over. I can't get over.
Jack, you're not putting on an act, are you?
Putting on an act? For years I was so sure that Charlie McCarthy was a dummy that I was so positive I would have bet 50 cents.
No.
Yes. I was never so baffled in my life.
Oh, Mrs. Bergen.
I can't.
Oh, Mrs. Bergen. I finished my work. I'm ready to collect my quarter.
Okay, Mortimer.
Oh, no.
Well, now, here's your quarter. Did you do a good job?
Yeah, I got all the leaves. It was tough getting up on the tree, but I got them.
Well, now, what are you going to do with your quarter?
Well, I thought maybe I'd, say, who's the yokel? Can we talk in front of him?
Perfectly all right.
Are you sure now? You're sure he ain't an eavesdripper?
No, Mortimer, that's dropper.
Well, he looks more like a grouper.
Mortimer, this is Jack Benny. Now go over and say hello.
No. Dos. Well, what was it you told me to say to him?
I told you to say hello.
Hello.
You're Mortimer Snerd.
Excuse me. I know I'm Mortimer, but what was that last part he threw at me?
Snerd, that's your last name. You are Mortimer Snerd. Now, we've told you that hundreds of times.
No, but not today. what did you say your name was?
I'm Jack. Jack.
Benny.
Yes, Jack Benny. I'm confused.
You're a little hard of thinking, too.
Now, Mortimer, this is Jack Benny, star of stage, screen, radio, and television.
Oh, you Jack Benny that on the radio?
Yes, yes.
And on the stage?
Yes.
Oh, and you got your own television show?
I have.
Well, well, Jack Benny.
Oh, then you've heard of me.
No.
Mortimer, what do you mean you never heard of Jack Benny? Now, how did you get so stupid?
Well, what was that question?
I said, how did you get so stupid?
Well, I had a good deal and I just couldn't turn it down. Well, so long, the heck with it.
I was never so confused in my whole life. I just can't figure it out. I was never so baffled. I just can't understand.
I'm sorry I was late. Say, I've been thinking about the show and I've got it all worked out.
But Edgar, look on paper now, Jack. Edgar, I want to tell you, I can't understand.
Yeah, sit down, I'll tell you about it, Jack. Now, see, at the opening of the show. No, not there, Jack. Here. There.
Cigarette smokers.
Thank you very, very much, ladies and gentlemen. Francis, I want to thank you and Edgar, both of you, for being on my show.
Jack, we enjoyed it very much.
Oh, we thought it was lots of fun, Jack.
Well, I'm so glad you did. And Edgar, I also want to wish you a lot of success on your own new television show, which starts January 3rd on CBS.
That's right.
I wish you a lot of luck on that show.
Thank you, Jack.
I'm sure you will. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, be sure and watch Ann Southern next week. I'll be back in 2 weeks. And now, on behalf of my sponsor and my entire staff, I want to wish all of you a very, very Merry Christmas.
Appearing on tonight's program are Harry Stewart, Stevie Wooten, and Louis Mattieri. Remember, 1 week from tonight on this same station, be sure and watch Ann Southern in Private Secretary. Jack Benny's next television show will be in 2 weeks. The Jack Benny program has been brought to you by the American Tobacco Company, America's leading manufacturer of cigarettes. The Jack Benny program has been selected for viewing by our armed forces overseas. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Don Wilson, reminding you people who hire or engage help
that experience has proved that handicapped men and women make conscientious, steady, reliable employees. They take a special interest in their jobs. So look over your situation. I'm sure you'll find a spot for a handicapped worker. Thank you.